Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Join your hosts, Sandra Flack.
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That is Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Our guest today is the State Director for Care Portal in Arizona and California. Welcome to the show, Jonathan Sanborn.
Thank you very much, Sandra. Good to hear from you.
It is an honor to have you on the show, and I've had the opportunity to meet you in person as well. So it's great to have you today. You are a busy man directing both Care Portal in both states, Arizona and California. So let's kind of start at the beginning of your story, though, Jonathan. What led you to this work on behalf of vulnerable children and families?
Well, God definitely has a sense of humor, for sure, in my life. I never would have guessed the path that God has directed me on, and simply I've always thought of myself in kind of a rebel and kind of never nonconformist type, and God has used that in so many different ways to lead me in a path that just isn't by the book or by the mold that I would have ever chosen, but God got a hold of me in college to really get, you know, give my life not just in idea, but really radically give my life to serve him. And I wanted to go wherever the need was. And so I ended up on the mission field for several years in Russia. And in that time, I really just became, I loved the sharing the gospel with people who've never heard. And we were starting new churches. But God was just... There were some things that were unsettling for me that I just felt like there was something incomplete in message and in what we were trying to accomplish, because we would share the gospel with maybe someone who is a student or a seeker, which is beautiful and wonderful, to how beautiful the feet of those who bring good news. I know that's what I wanted to be, yet we wouldn't have a voice or anything to say for the grandma begging on the side of the road, or the needs that we're around in a society that at that time seemed to be crumbling and transition. So I left with a sense that God was directing me in a different direction, and that led me to seminary and ultimately in the U.S., but transferring when I transferred from the seminary in the U.S. because I also saw the same lack of, you know, like, hey, are we just trying to plant comfortable churches in the suburbs and debate things, or are we really going to get our hands dirty and make a difference? And so God led me into a seminary in the Philippines, and I ended up interning at a church in a garbage dump. And I just, that life was such a life-changing experience for me to see just grinding poverty of the kind that was not only soul-crushing, but body and spirit-crushing when seeing children climb up on trash trucks as they entered into the community of 40,000 people, and that was their job, was to get recyclables and trash values and toss them off the side so they can be scavenged and brought in. And I walked through the lanes and of the shanties and saw you know, children being welding metal toys and in shorts and flip flops. And I just said, Lord, where does this church planting and this gospel meet? What does this mean here? And God just really saw, changed my idea that the church needs to walk among the poor and have a voice for the poor. And if we can proclaim the gospel to the comfortable, then we need to also be able to share the gospel and live out the gospel among the poor. So that God directed me and just woke me up in a lot of ways. And so when I came back to the U.S., I had a lot of fire in my belly and a lot of vision, and yet I became very critical. I was an intern at a church, and I just felt like I wanted everyone to know what God was teaching me. But I came at it in such a way that was very condemning of the church in the U.S. And I was so, all the wealth and the passivity, and we just weren't meeting the needs of those even in our own communities. And what could we do? And so God really had brought a wise man into my life who said, Jonathan, you, criticizing is easy, but it's better to light one candle than curse the darkness. And I just decided, Lord, I was convicted. And I said, Lord, I had been cursing what I had seen was the inactivity or what was missing in the church, but I wasn't lighting candles. I wasn't providing opportunities and helping the church to grow and serve those in need. And so God really redirected my life, and I'm thankful for that critique and that rebuke, really, at that time, because it really helped me down a path to say, look, how can I give and love and serve your church, the bride that you died for, too, so that we care for the needy children and we care for those families that are falling apart around us, and that we're there, we're getting our hands dirty in a sense, the trash heaps of families that are falling apart and the all right, even in our own neighborhoods. And so that was really a life-altering time. So I ended up joining a mission agency that helped train churches around the world and to serve the poor and the needy. And so I was involved for 7 years doing that globally in some of the poorest areas of the world. And just God just really just preparing me for what this is and grounding me in what the church should be, and that with to be that servant and to be that the father to the fatherless, and the friend to the widow, and the comforter for those in need. And I just feel that was a life altering time. So
you've been all around the world. How did you land in Arizona?
Well, there's another sense of humor, because I would much rather be, if God had called me, to a beach area and with a little more greenery. But, God has us here. And I ended up, after my time with that mission agency, getting a degree, master's in Oxford in international development and missions, mm-hmm. and thinking I would still be a global guy and training churches, but God redirected me to pastor at a church in Arizona. And so I ended up pastoring for 5 years for international students at Arizona State, and had a little congregation and shepherded that for a number of years. And we bought our house when we moved back from England, thinking we'd be here for a little while, but we're still here.
Wow.
15 years later, so...
And then you began working at some point with the social services, and that's when you became aware of the needs, the foster care system, and that kind of thing.
That is correct. After I took I ran a business for a number of years on the side, and ended up that grew, but ended up with a job opportunity to work for the state of Arizona and in their Department of Economic Security as their faith liaison to represent social services to the faith community all statewide. And so it was an amazing opportunity that ultimately led to me hearing about Care Portal. And I remember sitting at the launch of Care Portal here in Maricopa and at Grand Canyon University. And I'm looking up on the screen and go, this is what the church needs. Mm. And so not even working for that, it's the first time I hear about it. I go, I want the church to have this. I want the church to be about, tangibly meeting needs in their communities, and these kids are that we want to love and serve, and we want them to come to VBS, and we want them to be in our Sunday schools are oftentimes in difficult situations right in our neighborhoods, but a lot of times we don't know about it. So I'm like, I want that. So sure enough, God directed me to be the state director, and the position opened up, and was with the growth in Arizona, and had just launched in California. It just was the right time to bring someone on to help expand, and doors just keep opening up for this position. So to make inroads.
So now we've been talking a lot about Care Portal on this show since we will be launching Care Portal here in New York this fall. Jonathan, explain to our listeners what Care Portal is and basically how it works.
Care Portal is a platform, like a tech platform that makes real-time needs, you know, valid needs from a caseworker who's working with children in the community. And they go and they see this need, a real hurting, needed family need, and say they could use this, and this. And sometimes it could be that that's the cases that the family is in such bad shape that the child might need to be taken from the home because of the safety issues. And yet, if there was needs and there was some help to come alongside that family, it could really make a difference. And those needs get entered into the Care Portal, and those and all churches within a radius of that need have the opportunity to respond. And it's not just it's not Christian Amazon, where you know, a drive by, make you knock on the door and drop it off. It's really contact, it's connection for members of in the body of Christ to knock on the door of a struggling family and saying, "We're here for you. We've got this. We can help you." And here's, and they know this could make a difference. And it could, it sometimes it's thank you very much. Sometimes it's could we pray for you? And it's a spiritual engagement in the serving. And other times it goes deeper. They want to find out there's maybe some other things going on, or maybe opportunities to connect, or maybe they need some more. We know it could go anywhere. It could happen. Some people start coming to church, and others get more involved, and there's find out there's ways to shepherd and pastor that family. And we've, even in my own church here in Chandler, Arizona, where our pastor went on a Care Portal delivery and actually had a real time of ministry to one person, a family that was just a couple miles from our church.
Wow. So what has the impact been that Care Portal has had in both Arizona and California?
Well, the cool thing is that Care Portal keeps track of all that. It's like, because it's a platform, it always is measuring everything. And it's like, so we've had 3,452 children have really received some direct benefit from churches. From 100, there's now 108 churches in Arizona, and that the economic impact in sense the dollar value of the goods that are going there, as well as the impact it's meant by keeping kids out of foster care and just in child welfare, has exceeded 1.1 million. And we've received nothing from government to make that impact. And in California, there's 27 churches, and we've served 540 children, and with over $160,000 worth of economic impact. And so we're just getting ramped up there. So it's really, but a lot of things that are happening in the Bay Area and in Southern California that could really radically increase that impact.
And now tell us about the governor of Arizona has taken notice of Care Portal.
Absolutely. He actually was at the launch event. He and his wife really believe in it, and he's seen the impact. And so the Department of Child Safety was going through a huge upheaval, and that's when we connected and saying, what if there was no charge to you, that your caseworkers could enter in needs of your families and provide a huge resource for both material needs but also connection and support to these families? So they love the concept, and they've really opened the doors wide to make that partnership happen. And because of that, the governor has seen, you know, we've seen over 4,000 actual reduction in the amount of children entering in the system. So there used to be 17,000, and now we're closer to 13,000 children in the child welfare system. And the governor accredited part of the, you know, a significant part of that of working with the faith community and with Care Portal. And so that's just like, you know, an amazing acknowledgement of the value of this partnership.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge impact. Can you share some stories where Care Portal was instrumental in helping children and families?
Absolutely. And probably my the, it's a fairly recent one, probably about a month ago. We launched in Yuma County, which is on the border between California and Arizona, and often it's an overlooked city, but God is just doing some great things in Yuma, and churches have come together, and I think there's 18 churches that have signed up in like the last 2 months, and the last two, 3 months, and they're just on fire to serve needs. And one family, the caseworker was saying, this family's a mess, and the kids actually were coming to school with bed bugs. And so when the caseworker investigated, the house was deeply infested, and they requested beds and bed bug treatment. And because the single mom couldn't even take her kids to school anymore. So you can imagine having five kids that you can't take to school, and you're trying to work, and you know, and it's and so really, it was not only was it, they were getting kicked out of school, but there was she could even lose her kids over something that she was stuck. And so several churches stepped up, and Care Portal makes it easy for churches to work together. And so one church got like a lot of material items like clothing and things like that. Another church offered to get the beds and provide that. And then someone offered to pay for the exterminator. So the exterminator shows up and actually offers to do it for free, because he just thought this wasn't just the usual client. This was a real crisis. And so the business community really has been a wonderful partner with Care Portal. And I think we're growing in the ability to work with local businesses as well. But I mean, it just changed the family. Your kids could go back to school. I have two daughters, and I just, the thought of my kids couldn't go to school or couldn't, you know, because of bed bugs. And we even had bed bugs a few years ago, and it was horrible, but we could pay to get exterminated. And if you're at the bottom and you're poor, you might not have that opportunity.
Wow. So five children were really able to stay home and not end up in foster care, because churches stepped up and intervened and began to meet needs of this family in crisis.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And so, sure, instead of, you might look at like a number of 3,452. Well, that's big. But that's, you know, five of those kids, when you look at just that story, what that meant to those five kids, you know, that, and they now saw churches coming and bringing them new beds with nice sheets and bedding and some new clothes to go to school, and this guy's coming in and cleaning out their house, and they get a fresh start as a result of that. And so I mean it's the numbers are each a person, yeah, and each a kid that makes, and so that to me is where the rubber meets the road, and why that's huge.
And I love the fact that churches can work together, they can collaborate. Unity that we, yes, you know, we talk about and come together. So it wasn't one church having to do, yeah, all of this. It was several congregations coming together and meeting various needs. So it's again, that whole everybody doing a little.
Yes. And I think that's why we talked about that passage at the beginning of the podcast that I thought was very relevant. The idea that this unity just rarely comes from theological statements. In fact, I haven't, in my decades of ministry, never seen unity come out of just total theological agreement. I've found that unity comes when we serve together. And that's really what that passage is talking about, unity for the body of Christ, is when we are equipping saints for works of service, when the leaders see their vision is to serve, to be servants. I think that it really unifies churches together. I've just seen it. I've just seen it over and over again.
Incredible. I love to hear these stories. Jonathan, as we wrap up here, what is on your heart that you want to be sure our listeners hear today?
The analogy that Scripture gives us is that the church is the bride of Christ. And I think like what makes a bride beautiful, and and for me, the bride of Christ is most beautiful when serving. And so when I come and criticize the bride, what good does that do? What good does when I say, "Oh, this is what the church isn't doing," and what the critique is easy.
Mm-hmm.
But how can I make the church beautiful? And when the church is beautiful, God is glorified.
Mm.
And so, how can I make His bride, who He died for, He sent His Son to die for His bride? Who am I to go and just say, "Oh, you're sitting in your pews or bench warmers and whatever," and you know, such and such? But I said, no, that's not my role. My role is for the bride to be beautiful and God to be glorified.
I love that. Would you happen to have another story that you could tell us with the impact of Care Portal on children and families?
Well, you know, the other side of this is that when the church says, "I want to serve," it's not just, we're impacting children. We count that. We look at the impact. But there's another impact that I think is really powerful. And that is, I think they're the caseworkers and to even to government. And like caseworkers who are often who work for government and really are seeing some of the worst things imaginable. Mm-hmm. In this one friend of ours, she works for she's high up in with Care Portal. She's a director of partnerships, and she said her first day on the job as a caseworker, she had to take a picture of a dead baby.
Mm.
And I'm like, I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
How for my job that I would have to see, you know, these horrible things like that. And then if I were to take a stance like, "Oh, government is a problem," or, you know, as a critic of the government, and oftentimes that's all they hear is criticism of government agencies, or even the work that their own agency is doing, because they're just find is, "Oh, they're going to just take their baby snatchers or whatever." And yet here, if we've taken a stance of service, we can be a huge blessing, and we can see an incredible ministry. And so I've seen caseworkers just like even weeping, just like saying, "I'm just so thankful. I just thought I was so alone, and here all these Christians, and many of them are believers in Christ, and mm-hmm. they're saying, now I see my brothers and sisters who are serving together and are a blessing to me and my work and to these children." So I view it as like part of our impact, and I think, you know, is really just even to show these individuals and to government that we're a blessing, and I've just seen that. So I view that as a huge part of the impact. It's just not even measured in numbers.
Yeah, because it is, like you said, their caseworkers are seeing the worst, and they have hearts to serve and to help. And I know I was talking with some caseworkers in one of the counties that we're going to be serving, and they said, you know, "We see these needs all the time, and mm-hmm. we've all cleaned our closets out." Like, caseworkers are literally bringing in stuff
wow.
from home, trying to meet the needs of the families that
wow.
they're serving, and yet, you know, they're running out of their own stuff. And
yep.
you know, to when they heard that, so the church will come in and will help us do this. We'll provide these things. They were just so amazed, and it was like relief. They were
yes.
they could take, you know, take a breath, take a deep breath, and realize that
yes.
there is help, and that we want to come alongside them through Care Portal, and we want to help. And they were so blessed. And then I had one caseworker say to me, "Well, will this work with?" And I know we mentioned this before. Will this work with foster youth who age out of the system, and, you know, we're trying to set them up in their own independent living because they aged out of foster care. They never had a family. They don't have any
mm-hmm.
help, and
mm-hmm.
the county can help them secure affordable housing. But yet, you know, what about towels? What about a toaster? What about,
yes.
you know, a chair, a bed? And I said, yes, those are the kind of needs you can enter into the system as well. And they were so excited to hear that these things are possible, and that that the church is going to partner with them and help them in what they see every day and lighten their
yes.
load. Because some of these caseworkers are reaching out to churches, but they're making 10 phone calls a day, and caseworkers are
yeah.
overloaded. And for them to be able to just send one email and have that need met is
yes.
huge for them.
Huge. it's hard. It's so hard to make an appointment with just pretty much anyone in a church, it seems, for the most part.
Yeah.
just to reach someone,
exactly.
You know, even in my position as a pastor, you know, it's just often really, really hard. And so you can imagine a caseworker looking for a need and to start have a list of churches to say that maybe they want to help, and then trying to get a hold of somebody, and it just hasn't worked. And so we've made a huge breakthrough, and for them. And so, yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, it's easy, it's effective, it's time-saving, it's money-saving, and it's ministry, because churches are connecting with families right in their own community.
Yeah,
incredible. Jonathan, thank you for all you are doing on behalf of children and families there in Arizona and California, and thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for the invitation. I loved every minute of it. I appreciate you and your ministry.
Thank you. And to learn more about Care Portal, you can find them online at careportal.org. And for info about Justice for Orphans launching Care Portal here in the Capital District, check out our website at justicefororphansny.org. Thank you for listening to this episode of Orphans No More. You can find more shows on our website or wherever you listen to podcasts. JFO is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls them, be it adoption, foster care, or maybe even getting involved in Care Portal. We are looking for churches in Albany and Schenectady counties to partner with us for Care Portal. To learn more, visit justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.